Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to my radio audience this evening. I would like to give the God of Israel all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Again, that's due to his great, holy, awesome name. I'm here today. Usually I be here on Tuesdays to teach you the 613 laws. But yesterday, I was just sitting on my couch, and it just came to me that it's time for somebody to really, really seriously deal with all the doctrines and all the teachings of the number one world religion, Christianity. It's time. And me as the prophet of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I feel that I would be the perfect person to handle that for the God of Israel. Because I go on YouTube, that's another platform for Christianity and Hebrew Israelites and Muslim and all kind of other stuff that they have. But I go log on Blog Talk and listen to some of the radio broadcasts that they have. And I get so tired and I get so frustrated with preachers and pastors and ministers and church members coming on Blog Talk Radio, trying to teach somebody something about God when they know absolutely nothing about the God of Israel, the one that created us and the one that wrote the Hebrew scrolls, which your translated King James Version Bible come from. I get so tired of hearing quotes and cliches that the Christian pastors and the members of the Christian church come on Blog Talks and all kind of other platforms, call themselves trying to teach somebody. Number one, you ain't got no business teaching nobody nothing if you're not a prophet or a priest. You don't have no business trying to teach the word of God to anyone. I'm going to take my time today. Because the Bible say that Levi is my ministers forever. Forever. There's no way anybody will ever be able to change that. It doesn't matter if the Son of God came into the earth. He did not change that. Because the God of Israel said that it is forever. So I get tired of people coming on quoting stuff like, we under dispensation and we under grace and we under the New Testament and the law is done away with, all these different buzzwords that get the Christian church members to react to what they are teaching, which is false doctrine. Which is false doctrine. I know all about the Christian church doctrine. Absolutely. I was a pastor for 15 years of the Christian church. I know everything that they teach, all their cliches, all their buzzwords, everything that they believe, how they operate, and what they are doing. So that's why I say I'm the perfect person. Now that I have denounced all religions and all the gods of this earth, besides the God of Israel, the true and only living God, I'm the perfect person to teach this lesson today. Dispensation, grace, New Testament, and the book of Acts, all false doctrine, comes from Christianity. Christian church. Dispensation. What is dispensation? Do you really understand what that word means? Are you just listening to something that you've been taught about what it means without any research? Because I know how you Christians are. You just, and you pastors and you bishops and you leaders, you just listen to anybody that's up over you telling you something and you believe it without any research. Without any research at all. That's exactly how they deceive you. That's exactly how they deceive you, because you will not study. You always quote that scripture, study to show yourselves approved. You always quote that. But you don't do it. But you don't do it. You don't study. And if you do study, you just study the New Testament, and you'll never understand the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of the 12 tribes of Israel, your nation, reading the New Testament, and only that. You'll never understand him, the real God. Never. All you're going to really ever understand when you go into the New Testament is Jesus. He died on a Sunday, the first day of the week, which you believe that the first day of the week, when it say that in the book of Matthew, you believe that that's talking about a Sunday. And it's absolutely not talking about that when you look it up in the Greek. So all your New Testament is going to teach you about Jesus, speaking in tongues, being born again, all the stuff that you Christians focus on and put all your attention on and all your mindset on. And that's why you Christians ain't got nowhere farther than when you first believed 50 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago. You don't have no new information, none at all, no prophetic, no new edification, no new understanding, no new knowledge, no wisdom that you can give to people. The same old tired, boring, woe out Christian church teaching. Boring. Woe out. Dead. Dead. Yes, I said what I said. A dead doctrine. That's what it is. Because it's not the truth. It's not the truth. And all the things that you people believe about your doctrine, you don't have no scriptures to back up nothing that you believe. None at all. I heard one person come on Blog Talk the other day and said that the New Testament started in the book of Acts. The New Testament started in the book of Acts. Why do he believe that? You know why he believed that? He believed that because on the day of Pentecost, which is a holy day that's wrote up in the Old Testament. So if you saying that the New Testament started with the book of Acts, and if you go back to the Old Testament, you will see the day of Pentecost up under the holy days of the God of Israel. So if it started in the book of Acts, the New Testament, why is it that Peter and all the disciples went up in the upper room, they want to call it, and it was on the day of Pentecost, a holy day? So that would make the book of Acts the New Testament, just because they went up in the upper room and the Holy Spirit filled Peter and them with power. With power and manifestation. And they began to speak in a tongue of all the people that was in Jerusalem on the holy day, on Pentecost. So no, the book of Acts do not start the New Testament. The day of Pentecost is an Old Testament holy day that Peter and all the disciples was keeping. So they kept the law. They observed the law. In the book of Acts, they observed the law. Okay? Even Paul and all the rest of them observed the law, and they kept the law. So let me keep going here. See, I'm getting tired of y'all coming up on these platforms, speaking all these lies and false teaching and false doctrine without no evidence to what you are teaching and what you are saying. Don't throw nothing out there in the audience unless you can back up what you are saying. Study, remember, to show yourselves approved. Study. That means you're going to take the Hebrew dictionary and look up the words in the Bible. You're going to take the Greek dictionary and look up the words in the Bible. You're going to break down words, pull up words to understand what is being said and what is being taught. So no, people, you can't get me with that. The New Testament started with the Acts. That's absolutely a satanic, demonic teaching. Without any scriptures, let me say it again, without any scriptures to back it up. I'm here to put things in order today for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me read my title today. Dispensation, grace, New Testament, and the book of Acts, all false doctrine of the Christian church. The way you put it out there, the way you tell the people what it is, what they got to do, and what they got to believe, it's all false. It's all false. Absolutely false. The whole Christian religion, because that's exactly what it is false. And it's against the God of Israel. And that's why they teach you that the law is done away with, and you're under dispensation, you're under grace, you're under the New Testament, you're under all of these things. But you don't want to be under the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. You want to be under all these doctrines and teachings of a man. Because it was a man that created Christianity. It was a man. It was a man. And I can prove that. I can prove that, but I'm not here today to talk about how Christianity came about. But what I am here to talk about is this. This is Sister Sister Radio Talk Show. I am your host, Elisha Ba. I am the prophet of the God of Israel. His name is Ahaya. I am the prophet of the Hebrew nation. That would be the 12 tribes of Israel. The guest call-in number, if you would like to call in, you are welcome to call in. 661-9831. Any of you preachers, any of you bishops, pastors, elders, deacons, church members, it doesn't matter who you are. Call in if you believe in your doctrine. And you believe in what you're teaching. And you believe in what you are saying. Come on with it. And talk to the prophet of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let's see what happened. Our first scripture today, we're going to come out of the book of Genesis 1:26. But before we do that, excuse me, people. Cedia, come here. I need you to turn the fan down or pull it back. I want to look, and you know, you got all your little cliches and stuff that you use. Let me just throw some stuff out there that the Christian church. Pull it all the way back over there. Excuse me, people. All the way back over. They always confess about. Let me just give you all the confessions. That's okay. Let me just give you all the confessions of the Christian church. What they believe and what they confess. God's law is done away with. God's law is done away with. Are you people crazy? There's no way that the God of Israel will ever do away with his law just to please you Gentiles, you Christians. He'll never do away with his law. Just because your Jesus was born in the earth, that's what you teach. False, false doctrine. And you only got one scripture. You only have one scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17, that backed that up. Saying that he didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets. He didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. He came to fulfill it. So you Christians take that he came to fulfill it without any research, without any understanding. You believe just because that one little phrase that you read in the Bible, just one little phrase. Let me show you how dumb and brainwashed you people are. Just because of that one little phrase he fulfilled without understanding, without research, you believe that God's law is done away with. So guess what, Christian? Let me tell you this. If you believe God's law is done away with, you might as well be saying to the God of Israel, he's done away with. Or he don't exist. Or what he said is not important. Or what he want is not important. We're just going to go with the New Testament. And we're just going to go with that little phrase about he came to fulfill it. And we're going to believe just from that phrase that the law of God, the 613 laws of the God of Israel, is done away with, and you people don't have to keep it. Because you Gentiles, you say. You Gentiles, you're not under the law, and you're under grace. That's another cliche that you throw out there. You're not under the law, you're under grace. What grace is you talking about, Pete? What grace? And that's why I want to go into what I'm going into today, to break down this false doctrine that you are teaching the people and the masses all over the earth. Dispensation and grace. So you throw things out like God's law is done away with. We spiritual Israel. You what? Spiritual Israel. So you trying to tell me that just because the Gentiles, you know, you want to say the Gentiles came in the New Testament. The Gentiles was always around the children of Israel. Even when they was in the wilderness, the Gentiles was there. They was always around the children. They left Egypt. Africans are Gentiles. Egyptians are Gentiles. They left Egypt and went with the children of Israel in the wilderness. So you want to believe that you Gentiles, and you want to believe that you spiritual Israel. Okay. So who was Paul, and who was Peter, and who was John, and who was all the disciples? Was not they Israel? Was not they Israel? They in the New Testament now, right? They are in the New Testament. They are in it. So how can you take one phrase now? Again, this is how you people teach your lies. You take one little phrase out the Bible or a Bible verse and try to twist it to make it fit into what you believe and what you teach. You spiritual Israel. Because you, the Gentiles, got salvation in the New Testament. The Gentiles had salvation way back there when they was in Egypt. Not Egypt, in the wilderness. It was laws set up in place for the Gentiles way back there in the Old Testament. Laws of circumcision. Laws of the holy days, that Passover. They had their own Passover, how they had to keep Passover, the Gentiles. The children of Israel had their way that they had to keep Passover. The God of Israel made stipulations in the Old Testament about the Gentiles. So that's how dumbfounded you people are, man. Think the Gentiles just showed up in the New Testament and God said things about, no. He told Moses different laws and different understandings about the Gentiles way in the Old Testament. So you be spiritual Israel, that's what you say. So what happened to real Israel? What happened to real Israel if you want to be spiritual Israel? You cannot be. Peter now was Israel. They in the New Testament. Mary was an Israelite. Joseph was an Israelite. John the Baptist was an Israelite. Paul was an Israelite. John was a Israelite. The Son of God was a Israelite and is a Israelite because he's not dead. He's still alive. He is a Israelite from the tribe of Judah. So how can you Gentiles take that one little phrase in the New Testament where it say, we spiritual Israel, which is a injection. Which is a injection from the people that translated your King James Version Bible from the Hebrew Scrolls. Injection. Injection. I'm going to take my time. If I have to make a part two, I will. Injection. So you take that little phrase where you say, Paul say, you spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel. You cannot be Israel unless you was born through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ain't no such thing as spiritual Israel. You'll never be Israel because you say you're Gentile. So you need to stop teaching that madness. Just from one phrase in the Bible, in the New Testament. In the New Testament, you had plenty Hebrews, which is Israelites. Plenty. And guess what? One none of them Gentiles. One none of them Gentiles. Not a one. So, the God of Israel never called no one spiritual Israel. So where are you people getting this madness from? Where are you people getting this teaching from? The God of Israel never called no one spiritual Israel. He always called them Israel. So you want to go with the injected word, spiritual Israel, to bring forth the doctrine of the Christian church that Israel is dead and done away with and don't exist no more, and you spiritual Israel with one phrase in the Bible. You people are stupid. You stupid. If you think you can take one phrase, yeah, I said I'm the prophet of the God of Israel. I'm here to correct you. You can't take one phrase and become a whole nationality of people. And he never called them spiritual Israel. The Son of God never called them spiritual Israel in the New Testament. He called them Israel. He called Peter, John, and all of them Israel. Cliche you use. It doesn't matter. See, this is another one y'all use. See, I know all of them because I used to be a pastor of the Christian church. It doesn't matter what day you serve him. That's another madness. It doesn't matter what day you serve him. Every day is a holy day. What scripture is that? What scripture is that, that every day is a holy day? That's false teaching. It's only one day that's recorded from Genesis to Revelation. That is the holy day, and that's the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. That is the holy day to the God of Israel and his 12 tribes. You can't say that every day is a holy day. I can serve him any day I want to serve. No, you have to serve him the day that he say serve. And guess what? Paul kept the Sabbath. Y'all love to throw Paul out there. Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. You love to throw Paul out there, but you don't know nothing about Paul. And you don't understand what Paul was talking about and what he was doing. Paul kept the Sabbath. Peter kept the Sabbath. all the disciples, even after the book of Acts, they kept the Sabbath day. It's scriptures in the Bible to prove that. So no, every day is not a holy day, and you cannot serve him whatever day you want. He said, my day is the Sabbath. And you cannot make Sunday the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. It'll never be the Sabbath. Never. I don't care if you're fake. Come on, baby. I don't care if your fake Jesus, Sergio Borgia, a white man, the second pope of Rome's son, all your pictures, that's who he is. No. Another cliche y'all use. It doesn't matter what color he is. It doesn't matter what color he is. I heard one pastor, I tuned into a blog talk radio show the other night, and I heard one pastor come on there and say, oh, the law ain't never did nothing for nobody. Do that man know he condemning himself to hell saying that? He said the law ain't never did nothing for nobody. And we don't have to keep no law. The children of Israel, he say, ain't never kept the law. False doctrine. False doctrine. The law ain't never did nothing from nobody. So you trying to tell me the law didn't do nothing for Abraham? The law didn't do nothing for Isaac? The law didn't do nothing for Jacob? The law didn't do nothing for Moses? The law didn't do nothing for Aaron? The law didn't do nothing for King David? The law didn't do nothing for Solomon? You people need to cut it out. You don't have no edification. You don't have enough knowledge and understanding of the Bible to teach the Bible. Cut it out. You trying to tell me the law ain't never did nothing for Mary and Joseph, the mother of the Son of God and the Father? They lived up under the law. That's the New Testament. When he was born, they took him into the temple and presented the Son of God to the Father with two turtle doves. Up under the law, that's what it tells you to do in the Old Testament. And that's exactly what Joseph and Mary did. And they kept the manner of the law. That pastor is a fool. He is a fool to let something like that so blaspheme. Blasphemy, that's what it is. Blasphemy come out of your mouth. The God of Israel will pull your tongue out your mouth for saying something like that, that the law ain't done nothing for nobody. Are you crazy, man, to say something like that? You are sick. David kept the law. Elijah kept the law. Ezekiel kept the law. Jeremiah kept the law. They all kept the law. But you want to get on Blog Talk Radio and say the law ain't done nothing for nobody. Because you hate the law. You hate the law because your pastor and your bishop taught you that the law ain't no good and it's obsolete and it's done away with. And you want to teach that madness. Without any precepts to back up what you are saying. Next cliche. Look at all this madness they believe. The Christian church. All of this madness. I haven't even got to dispensation of grace yet. I'm going to get to it. Look at all this matters. The next cliche. It doesn't matter what color he is. So it don't matter what color the Son of God is. It doesn't matter what color the God of Israel is. It don't matter what color Paul is. It don't matter what color Peter is. It don't matter what color John the Baptist is. It don't matter what color nobody is. Long as we can believe our doctrine, long as we can believe what we have been taught, that's all we need. It doesn't matter what color the Son of God was. If it didn't matter, people, if it didn't matter, Christians, he wouldn't have put color in the Bible. He wouldn't have made difference between the children of Israel and the Gentiles if color doesn't matter. If color doesn't matter, he wouldn't have made no difference between a Jew and a Gentile. And I know you got that scripture over there in Galatians, I believe it is, where it say, we all are one, whether Jew or Gentile. We all are one. We all are equal. I'm just paraphrasing what it said. If it didn't matter what color he is, the Son of God, when he came to this earth, he wouldn't have been from the tribe of Judah. The Son of God wouldn't have been from the tribe of Judah. Solomon say he's black in the Bible. Joseph was black. He was a Hebrew. Solomon was a Hebrew. You trying to tell me it doesn't matter about the color? When God, the Father, say his people is Hebrews and Jews and Israelite, he made a difference in the people. You trying to tell me it doesn't matter what color? It matters what color. It matters who you are, what your bloodline is, and where you came from. It matters to the God of Israel. It don't matter to you Christians. It don't matter to you Christians. It don't matter to you Gentiles. But it mattered to the God of Israel and the 12 tribes of Israel and his people. They was Hebrews. They was all black and brown people. The original people is blacker than an ace of spades. And then you had the Romans that was in Jerusalem when the Son of God was born. You had the Romans, the white man, the Edomites. So it don't matter about the color, huh? That's what they put in your mind, man. They brainwashing you. So if you keep believing that it don't matter about the color, it don't matter who you are. It don't matter about your ancestors. It don't matter where you come from. Don't nothing matter but Jesus and me being a Christian. You've been brainwashed. You've been brainwashed with false teaching. Yes, it matters about the color. The God of Israel, Abraham, was a Hebrew. It's a scripture in the book of Genesis say Abraham was a Hebrew. It don't matter about the color. Well, why is that in the Bible? That Abraham was a Hebrew. Why is that in the New Testament that Paul said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews? Paul, your wonderful Paul that you love so much, he said it in the New Testament that he is a Hebrew of a Hebrew. So that means that he came from a Hebrew. His bloodline is Hebrew. He a Jew. A black man. And you had Romans back then running Jerusalem, Herod and all of them. Romans, white people, yeah, people. Again, you need to cut it out, people. Because you're going to get hurt. The God of Israel going to hurt you Christians so bad if y'all don't quit. And that's a warning. That is a warning. Your doctrine cannot stand up against the Torah. Your doctrine cannot stand up against the law of the God of Israel. It doesn't matter. When in the book of Acts, the New Testament, I told you I'm taking my time. In the book of Acts in the New Testament, they call, and I think it's Acts 13, verse 1 and 2. They called them Nigra. Barnabas, Paul, Simeon, who is they? The Romans. The ones that was in charge of Jerusalem. The ones that killed the Son of God because he was a black man. They was prejudiced back then and they still prejudiced today. It haven't changed. They killed all the black people. All the disciples was black. The Son of God was black. Paul was black. The Romans killed all of them because they was racist, just like they racist today. So the doctrine that they teaching you, they the ones set up Christianity, the Romans, the Catholic Church, the Potiphar, they call it, the bishops, the Masoretes, the Jesuits. You want me to name some more people? They the ones. Set up your New Testament doctrine that you have. Next cliche. We are saved and sanctified. That's what you Christians believe. We are saved and sanctified. Why? Because you speak in tongues. You feel with the Holy Ghost, you say. You are saved and saved. So you try to tell me the New Testament is where you get saved and where you get sanctified and where you get filled with the Holy Ghost and all that. Don't you know people in the Old Testament was saved also? If you want to use that term, saved, because saved don't mean what you think it means. Saved don't mean what you was taught that it means. People in the New Old Testament that was saved, if you want to use that phrase, Moses was saved. Elijah was saved. Ezekiel was saved. Jeremiah was saved. The children of Israel was saved from Egypt. Yeah, they were saved. When he brought them out of Egypt, he saved them. You didn't know that, did you? The God of Israel saved the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. He saved them from what? From the hand of Pharaoh. You want to say that the word save means you born again. What scripture do you have for that? What scripture do you have for being born again other than the one where Nicodemus went to the Son of God? Some translated madness that they put up in the Bible to deceive you people. Ain't no such thing, people. You saved from what? when you're full of evil and you're full of iniquity and you're full of unrighteousness and you got wickedness in you because you're against the God of Israel and you're against his law and you're against his people, the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's why you say Israel is dead and they gone away and they don't exist. Why? Because you're against them. Your doctrine teaches you to be against them. The very people that the God of Israel wrote the Bible for. The very people that the God of Israel wrote the Bible for. You people are against them. Why? Because the Romans, the one that set up your Christian churches, is against the Israelites. That's why they killed them. Don't you know, before Paul was converted, he was operating with the Romans? Operating with the Romans. He was kicking down the Hebrews' doors, the Jews. He was kicking their doors in, pulling them out and killing them, women and children and men. Don't you understand that, Pete? Paul was operating with the Romans, with Caesar and all the rest of them. And he was a Jew. And he was a Hebrew. And he knew he was a Hebrew. And he knew he was a Jew. But he hated Peter. And he hated John. And he hated the children of Israel. He hated his own people. Because the Romans turned him against the Hebrew Israelites. Because they hated the Hebrew Israelites. Just like they hate them today. It have not changed at all. At all. And that's why they want to teach the world that Israel is dead. Israel don't exist. Israel ain't, they dead people. We don't know where they is. They want to teach all them lies. So you Gentiles can be spiritual Israel. Next cliche. We are saved and sanctified. That's what y'all believe. What words you going to use for being saved? Romans 10 and 9. Romans 10 and 9. That's the one y'all use at the Christian church. If you confess your sin and believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. Injection. I told you, he saved the Israelites way back there in Egypt. Not in Egypt, in the wilderness. He saved the Gentiles way back there in the wilderness. If you want to use that term. Next cliche. You can't take Romans 10 and 9. You can't take Nicodemus being born again, one little verse, one little phrase in the Bible. Doctrine that have deceived generations of people. Women, men, and children have been deceived for generations with the doctrine of the Christian church. I'm saved. Saved from what? When you're a devil. You're against the God of Israel. You're against his law. Saved from what? You hate the real God to serve all your gods and idols that set up in these churches. It never told you to have no church. None of that stuff. Sit down somewhere. want to take one little phrase and paint a whole picture and deceive generations of people because they dumb and they don't do no research and they don't look up nothing and they don't have no understanding and they just believe what you satanic leaders are teaching them without any research, without any scriptures, without anything to back up what they believe. One verse that they don't twist it to fit your belief. Christianity. False doctrine. Antichrist religion. Next cliche. Sunday is the Sabbath. Told you that already. Sunday will never be the Sabbath. We're not under the law, but under grace. Now, we're not under the law because we Gentiles. We Gentiles. Yes, close it. We are under grace. Now, let me go and pull up dispensation to go into my lesson now. Let me pull up dispensation to go into my teaching. And another one you say, I'm saved and I speak in tongues. That's another cliche y'all got. I can eat what I want long as I pray over it. That's another cliche that you got. Where is it that the God of Israel told you can eat whatever you want? What scripture is that? That he told you you can eat whatever you want. What? Because you believe that New Testament injected scripture that tell you whatever you eat, just pray over it and do it all in the name of Jesus? No, people. Again, you're dealing with one phrase. When the God of Israel got a whole law about what you can eat and what you can't eat. A whole law. As long as I pray over. Pray over what? You can't pray over. You cannot pray over pork and make it clean. You can pray all you want. It's still pork. And he told you not to eat it because it's an abomination. In the book of Acts chapter 10, I believe it is, or 9, 9 or 10. I think it's 10. When Peter was praying on the top of the housetop and he went in a trance, he went, this is another scripture y'all try to use to say you can eat what you want to eat. When Peter went in his trance and the God of Israel spoke to Peter and told him, you know what, Peter, rise and eat whatever you see. And Peter said, you know what, no, Lord. No, Lord, I never ate nothing unclean. I never ate no pork. I never ate no shrimp. I never ate no lobster. I never ate none of that. No, Lord, I can't eat that. But he said, no, Peter, I'm not telling you about no food. I'm telling you to go to rise and go eat, meaning that you're going to go to the Gentile, Cornelius' house. Cornelius was a Gentile. And you're going to teach him about me. So that scripture don't got nothing to do with food at all. It have everything to do with Peter going to Cornelius' house and talk to him about the God of Israel. You can't use that. And you can't pray over nothing and make it clean that God have already cursed up under his law and already said that it's unclean. Let's look it up now. Dispensation. Meaning, I'm going to deal with that word first before we go into the scriptures. Babe, you're going to have to turn the light on. I can't see. It's kind of dark. Thank you. Dispensation. All your leaders love to use this word. Dispensation. We are the dispensation of grace. We are the dispensation of salvation. We are the dispensation. You don't even know what dispensation means. You think it means time that the Gentiles in the New Testament got saved, and became spiritual Israel. Let me read what dispensation means and break it down to you people. Number one meaning, it's a dispensation, religion, and politics. Right, honey? That's what the word dispensation means, religion and politics. It don't got nothing to do with being saved. It don't got nothing to do with you being a Gentile and being saved on the grace and the law done away and all of that. It ain't got nothing to do with none of that. It's a religion and politics dispensation. Definition number one. Exemption from a rule or unusual requirement. Let me say it again. Exemption means you don't have to do something no more. It's exempt. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to follow it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to pay it. You don't have to pay no attention to it. It's exempt, obsolete. I'm reading the word dispensation, meaning exemption from a rule or usual requirement. What is the rule? What is the rule that you people feel that you are dispensation from? What do you think it is? See, you've been taught in your religion. See, this word have everything to do with religion and politics. And the word religion is nothing but a duty of man. That's all religion means. It ain't got nothing to do with God, and the God is, it's just a duty that man do. That's all it is, religion. I'm a pull that word up right now. Let me pull up religion. But anyway, let me read the definition first of dispensation. Exempt from a rule or usual requirement. That's definition number one. Definition number two for dispensation. A system. Y'all hear me, Pete? Do you hear me? A system of order, government, or organization, or a nation, community, etc., especially as existing at a particular time. So your word dispensation have everything to do with a system and a order of the government, it says. What system was that in ancient times, and what system is that today in modern times? What order is that? What government is that? What organization or nation is that? Let me break it all down for you people. See, you exempt from the requirements of keeping the law. You exempt from the rule of law of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through a system of order, government, or organization, or a nation. A system, people. What system is it talking about? The system that was set up in place when the Son of God and the disciples walked the earth, it was the Roman system. A religion. A system. That's all it means. Dispensation only means a system of order. What order is that? You are under grace. You don't have to keep the law. You don't have to do what the law tells you to do. You exempt from the law. You exempt from the rule of the God of Israel. And who set it up? Your system set it up. The law of the land. It's an order from your government. It's an order from your government structure. Dispensation. Or organization. What organization is that? Christianity. Christianity, Islam, and all the rest of the organizations through religion. Of a nation, it says. What nation is that? Gentile nation. The same people that set up the system and the order and the government and the organization way back in ancient times when the children of Israel was in their own land in Jerusalem, the same exact people that set it up way back then. They had their own law. They had their own system when the Son of God was born, when Peter and them was walking the earth. They couldn't get Peter and them to convert to what they believed. And that's why they killed them. But it is a system of order. You fall in a system. When you say dispensation, it's a system of order, government or organization or a nation, of a nation, the Gentile nation. The Gentiles were set up in the earth when the Son of God was born. They the ones killed them. It was a system. It was an order. It was the government that killed the Son of God, the Roman government. So, no, I don't see dispensation meaning what you say it means. You under grace and you under mercy and you under this and you under that. I don't see none of that for the definition of the word dispensation. So where are you people getting this stuff from? From your leaders, theologian, Bible institutions, and colleges. The system, your theologian, Bible colleges, your religion is a system, it's a order, it's the government. That's what it dispensation means in English. And I'm going to go in the Bible and show you what it means in the Greek. It says a system or order, government or organization of a nation, community, etc., especially as existing at a particular time. What time was that? That was the time when the Son of God was born. And before he was born, the Romans was in charge. And they had their order. They had their religion. They had their Judaism. Their Judaism. Same religions they got today, Christianity, all of that was back then when the Son of God walked the earth and Peter knew. But they refused to bow to their system. They refused to bow to their order. They refused to bow to their government. And that's why they killed them. Because the Son of God was born to bring truth to the children of Israel. So it says here, dispensation, religion, politics, a system or order, government or organization. Where is your grace at here? Where is your salvation at here? Where is your speaking in tongues here? Where is your being filled with the Holy Ghost here? Where is your laws done away here? Where is it doesn't matter what color he is? It doesn't matter what day you worship him on. Where's all that stuff under your word dispensation? It's not here. It does not exist. So it's a system. Let me pull up the word system. I have to take my time, people. I have to take my time. The prevailing system, it says, the prevailing political or social order, especially when regarded as oppressive and intransigent. It says a set of principles or procedures according to which something is done, an organized framework or method. The public school system is up under the government system. Dispensation. The system. The order. The government. All your systems and all your orders and all your methods and all your beliefs and understanding is set up under dispensation, which means government structure. It ain't got nothing to do with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. Let me go back now, people. Let me go back. That's the system part of dispensation. School system. Religious system. Now let me look up the word religion right up under dispensation. Religion and politics. That's what it's all about. I just looked up religion. Religion is just a system or order of government and organization. All your religions that's under the word dispensation. See, that's what the Catholic Church, they came with that word, dispensation. And I'm going to show you the origin of the word dispensation. I just pulled up religion. It is a system. That's what your religion is. The beast religion of this earth. The beast religion and orders of this earth. The government system of, that's what you fall in. All your religions were set up by the government. The same ones that set the religions up back in Peter and them day. Now, it's a system, order, scheme, plan, arrangement, organization, everything that's involved in Christianity was ordered, it was planned, it was arranged, and it was set up way back and when the Son of God was walking the earth. A scheme. A scheme. I'm reading dispensation now, people. A scheme. You know what a scheme is? A trick. I still don't see nothing you preachers and elders and bishops are talking about when it comes to the word dispensation. You under the cross. You under the blood of Jesus. You under the new covenant. Where is that at for the word dispensation? You under dispensation of grace? I don't see grace nowhere up under this word. So it's a scheme, a large scale. It's a British, Romans, British, all these people, governments, set up all your religions and all your orders and all your systems that you see in the earth. A large scale systematic plan. A large scale systematic plan. Under dispensation, or arrangement for attaining a particular object or putting a particular ideal into effect. What was that ideal that they put into effect on a large-scale systematic plan? You know what it was? Christianity. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm born again. I got the Holy Ghost. The law done away with. I'm spiritual Israel. That's the scheme. That's the plan. That's the trick. That's the lies. It's a large scale of systematic plan. These people plan this stuff out so very good and so very careful that they had to kill all the disciples and the Son of God. So their plan could go forth. And guess what? It took them 70 years after they killed the Son of God and the disciples to come up and translate the New Testament, the Masoretes and the Jesuits. 70 years later, after they killed all the disciples and the Son of God, they translated the Greek version. Not even the English, the Greek version of the New Testament. It's a plan on a large scale. Systematic plan. You are systematic people being programmed. That's what's going on. You are systematically being programmed by the government, by these people that set up the scheme. Religion, keep you away from the real God, to keep you from following the real God and keeping the law and doing what he told us to do. They had to come up with a scheme and they had to come up with a plan. Now, let me go back. It say, look what else it say on the scheme for dispensation. A secret or underhanded plan. A secret now. A secret. We can't tell the slaves. We can't tell the slaves what it's all about, people. We got to make sure we stick together. We can't tell them what it's all about. We got to be quiet. In order to program these people, in order to keep these people brain dead and brainwashed, and in order to keep, make these people keep believing that they serving God, the real God, when they really serving Satan, because dispensation is up on the religion, and that religion is the system and the plan, and that God is Satan that's up over it. So it say a secret. You know the Masonic Order, it's a secret. All religions are secret. The Masonic Order is just another religion. That's all it is. It's a secret or underhanded plan, a plot. A particular order, system, or arrangement. Look what it say, people. A public housing complex, all your high-rise buildings and all your low-income buildings and all your real estate that you go to the bank and get all that money up out the bank to buy their houses and their apartment complexes and their condos, a public housing complex. It is a scam, a scheme. S-C-H-E-M-E, scheme. See that, people? I don't see nothing y'all talking about, preachers. And I'm finna go farther into it now, people. Farther. Housing complex. All the stuff you see is up under the system. It's up under dispensation. It's up on the religion, and it's up on the politics. It's all about politics. It's all about the government. It's all about the plan. It's all about the secret. It's all about the system. It said make plans especially in a devious way or with intent to do something illegal or wrong. Plot, fire. It said the origin, Greek or Latin. Greek or Latin or English, mid-16th century. That's when religion came to the modern world. That's when it came to this side of the world, Europe and all that, in the 16th century. Martin Luther and all them. 16th century. It's a schema, Latin and English. It's a mid-16th century. Okay, let me go back now, people. Let me go back. Now, that was the religion part of it, and that was the scheme part of it. That was the system that I read, the order, the scheme, the plan, the arrangement, the organization. Let me pull up plan on the dispensation. Y'all are going to be amazed. Under dispensation, people. That's what I'm reading, the word dispensation. I don't know, people. I'm going to have to come back tomorrow and finish. Because this is taking me into some deep, deep, deep stuff. I can see why the God of Israel wanted me to teach this today. I just pulled up that plan. Remember I told you the word dispensation means a plan, a system, a scheme. I pulled up plan. It said a detail. Proposal for doing or achieving something. All of this is up on the dispensation, the system, the plan, the rule, religion. A detailed proposal for doing or achieving something, the UN peace plan. The UN, United Nations, Revelation speaks of the 10 horns. Y'all don't know nothing about that. That's too deep for you to understand. The 10 horns. You don't even know who that is. One day I'll teach on it, but not today. It's a detailed proposal, a plan for doing and achieving something. What is that achievement? What is that proposal? That we keep it a secret about their religion, about the God that they serve, and what they believe in, what they're supposed to do. It's a plan. It's a proposal that all the countries came together and was confederate together to achieve something. What is they trying to achieve with this dispensation and this religion and politics, this system that they got everybody falling from generation to generate. What is they trying to achieve? You know what they trying to achieve? Go to Isaiah 14, I believe it is, where Satan say, I'm going to be upon the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What he said, I'm going to be so high that I'm going to be a God in this earth. That's the achieving plan that they try. I think she locked out. Honey, the dog, she locked out outside. She outside. Outside the door. Somebody put out. So let me go back. It's all a plan. It's a master plan, game plan, proposal, program that affiliates the regular payment or contribution towards a pension, savings account, or insurance policy, personal pension plan. All of the stuff that you see in work is up under the system, which is dispensation. Y'all don't know what dispensation means. It's all about a program that affiliate the regular payment fee towards a pension, savings account, or insurance policies. Every time you pay into that stuff, they get wealthy and wealthy and wealthy and wealthy. Yes, people. I don't see nothing about what you preachers are talking about. Now I just pulled up for the word dispensation, and then we're going to go to grace next, and I'm going to pull up a few scriptures for the word dispensation. Dispensation, politics. I just read to you religion. Religion, the plan and the system and the UN peace agreement, the pension plan, the savings account, the contributions. It's a secret. We can't tell them. We can't tell these people that they not Gentiles. They really Jews. They really Hebrews. We can't tell them that. We got to keep that a secret. We can't tell them that the real Jews are black people and brown people. We got to make them think that the Jews are white people. Abraham was white, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Solomon, and all of them was white, and that's why they painted all the pictures white. It is a plan. It is a scheme. It is a secret. And you people haven't figured it out yet, because you're not connected to the God of Israel. You're not connected to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're not connected to the Holy Spirit. You are connected to the dispensation. You are connected to the religion. You're connected to the plan. You're connected to the scheme. You're connected to the secret. It's a politics now for dispensation. You have two words for dispensation: religion and politics. I don't see nothing about you saved or none of that stuff you believe. Number one, for politics, exemption. Okay, I read that. That's okay. Religion. Okay, let me pull up religion for dispensation. I did politics. Now I'm going to do religion. Permission to be exempt from the laws or observation of the church. What church is that? It's only one church. That's the 12 tribes of Israel. It's only one church. It's only one body that the Son of God came into this earth for. And that would be the children of Israel. They was born in the wilderness. The church was born in the wilderness. The church was not born in the New Testament, like you people believe. I have a scripture to prove that, and if I have time, I will pull it up. The church was born in the wilderness. The 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrew nation, is the church, is the body of Christ. You Gentiles are just added somewhere up in there, but you are not the body of Christ. Only the 12 tribes of Israel. It's the body of Christ. Only the 12 tribes of Israel will be in the New Jerusalem when it comes down. You Gentiles are going to be in the outer court somewhere in the book of Revelation. That's what it said. You're going to be in the outer court, and you're going to be waiting on the children of Israel, hand and foot. So you'll never be the church. You'll never be the body of Christ. You'll never be Israel. Never. So So dispensation for religion, permission to be exempt from the law of observation of the church. He received papal dispensation, permission to be exempt. Who gave you the exemption from the law? We're talking about the law of the God of Israel right here, for dispensation under religion. Who gave you that permission that you don't have to keep the law and that you exempt from the law, that you exempt and it's done away with 613 laws and you only going to look at 10? Who gave you the permission? The same people now that killed the Son of God, the same people that killed Peter now, they gave the Gentiles the permission to be exempt from the law of the God of Israel. It said in Christian theologian, in Christian theologian, that's the system, see, that's the religious system that you people are following. Christian theologian don't have nothing to do with the God of Israel. And Christian theologian, a divinely ordained order, see, a ordained order prevailing at a particular period of history. Prevailing. Christian theologian, that's what you are falling. Dispensation means Christian theologian, theological. Prevailing at a particular time of history. What time of history was that? When the Romans took over Jerusalem. When the Greeks took over Jerusalem. That was the period. Constantine. A divine order. From the Constantine and the Pope and the Potiphar and all of them. A particular period of history. The 16th century, the first century. Yes. Now, people. I gave you the definition for the word dispensation. Now we're going to go to some scriptures in the Bible. But before we read the scriptures about dispensation, I can see that this is going to be a 2 or 3 day lesson. Before we read the scriptures about dispensation, let's go to Genesis 1:26. Let's go. Genesis 1:26. It say, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. Let us mean more than one person. God say, let us. So it was God, it was the Holy Spirit, and it was the Son of God in creation. Let us. It was more than one person, see. Your religious scheme, your dispensation, your system, your order, your rule, your government control, religions want to teach you, your theologian colleges, Christian colleges want to teach you that Jesus is God. And Jesus is the Holy Ghost. when the Bible clearly teach right here, let us make man. Let us, people. Let us. So God did not do it by himself. Let us. The Son of God, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit, Mother Earth, and the Father, Ahaya. Let us make man. Next scripture, Genesis 3:22. So you can throw that doctrine that you have in the garbage, because that's absolutely what it is. Garbage. The Trinity garbage. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and there's only one Godhead, and that's Jesus. And he three in one. Madness. And you don't have no scriptures, but just the one in the New Testament that talk about the Godhead. Injection. Another Masoret translated King James Version Bible, 8th century injection. Next scripture, Genesis 3:22. Genesis 3:22. And a higher God said, behold, the man, let's go up to Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also and to his wife, did a higher God make coats of skin and clothed them. And a higher God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. Us, 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 us. More than one person in heaven. Us, more than one person around the throne. The Son of God is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is on the left hand, on her throne. And the God of Israel is in the middle. Let us, and a higher God said, behold, the man Adam come as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand, Genesis 3:22, and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. We got to get him out of here. We got to get Adam up out of this garden, because he have become like us. Put your Jesus Godhead, your Jesus three in one, your Trinity madness in the trash, because that's exactly what it is. Trash and garbage. You go to the New Testament over there in Matthew, where they say Jesus, they call it, told the disciples, go into all the world. One phrase now, one little Bible verse. See, this is the scheme. This is the plan. This is the secret. This is the order. This is the religion. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptizing them. When John the Baptist, he was baptizing for repentance. And he baptized the Son of God, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Baptizing them in the name of the Father. What is his name? Jehovah? No, that's not his name. Baptize in the name of the Father. What is his name? God is not his name. Baptize in the name of the Son. What is his name? Jesus is not his name. This just means Joshua in English and Yahushua in the Hebrew. Ain't got nothing to do with the Son of God. Baptize in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. So you see how brain dead and confused and lost you people are in this world. Just from the word dispensation, you do all of that and believe all of that. And dispensation ain't got nothing to do with what you've been taught. He said, let us. Let's put Adam out of here. Because Adam don't became like us to know good and evil. He have became a God to know good and evil. Put him out. Us, the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father. They are three in agreement up in the heavens. Next scripture, Genesis 11, verse 7. Excuse me, Genesis 11, people. Yeah, we're going to go into our dispensation scriptures. Genesis 11, verse 7. Go to Genesis 11, 7. Let me go up to verse 6 of Genesis 11. And Ahiah said, behold, the people is one. This is talking about the Tower of Babel, when they was building the Tower of Babel. Nimrod, the king of Babylon. He was from Ham. Ham was his grandfather. Canaan was his father. Ham's son. Nimrod, the king of Babylon. Babylon is modern day Iraq. Mesopotamia, all up in there. Ancient names. Look what it said. And Ahiah said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language. They was Gentiles now. They not Hebrews. Nimrod was not a Hebrew. Nimrod was a Gentile. Ham was a Gentile. And Ahiah said, behold, the people are one, and they have one language. And that language was the Phoenician. Phoenician language. Africa. Canaan. Canaanites. Gentile. They have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Verse 7, go, he said, let us. See, he didn't just go down by himself now. He always got the Son. He always had the Father. He always had the Holy Spirit with him, the Mother Earth. And his holy angels. Let us go down. See, he ain't never been by himself. So that exempt your Godhead, three in one. Different. Personalities. I don't want to say deity, because the God of Israel is not a deity. It's three different gods. The Holy Spirit was a God. The Son of God is a God. And the Father was a God. But the Father is over the Son and the Mother, the Holy Spirit. That's why I said in the other scripture that I read, Adam have become gods, like us, knowing good and evil. Let me go back to that. Genesis 3:22. You don't want to believe. You don't want to believe. And a higher God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Okay? If the man was one of them, they gods. The God of Israel was a god. So they went down. Let us go down and destroy their language and confuse them. Let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, let's go into dispensation in the Bible. Let's look up First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. First Corinthians. New Testament, people, that's where I'm going. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. No, the word dispensation is not in the Old Testament. Because, again, that is an injected word to bring forth their what? Religion, system, order, government, controlling of a people in this earth. So it's not in the Old Testament. Because guess what? The government wasn't in charge in the Old Testament with the children of Israel like they was in charge in the New Testament, when the Son of God walked the earth. So, 1 Corinthians 9:17. Excuse me. Celia! Excuse me, people. Celia! Can you throw them a kilo? The tickets. Throw them a kilo. Yeah. Kilo of corn. 1 Corinthians 9:17, people. Let me help y'all, brain dead people that don't got no sense, no knowledge, no wisdom, and no understanding. 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this thing willingly, this is Paul now, I have a reward. Against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, let me look up the word dispensation in the Greek. I already looked it up in the English and just talked to you about 45 minutes breaking it all the way down. And I didn't see none of your doctrine and none of your understanding and none of your cliches that you Christians always talk about was not added to that word at all in English. Okay, so dispensation right here in 1 Corinthians 9:17. You hear me, bro? It's Greek number 3622. For if I do this thing willingly, Paul said, I have a reward. If he do what willingly, he have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Greek number 3622 for dispensation, administration of a household or estate, especially a religious economy. Dispensation, stewardship. The word dispensation means administration. It means a household or a state, especially a religious economy. What is a religious economy? All your churches, all your Christian churches, your Muslim churches, your Buddha church, all your churches is a religious economy. It's a dispensation, administration of your religions. When I read it in English, it said a religious scheme, a plan, but the word dispensation. So it don't mean being born again and you under grace and you under mercy and you under this and you under that and you born again and you saved and it doesn't matter what color it is or what day it is or what year it is. Dispensation simply means administration. So Paul had to administrate the word of God. I don't like to call it gospel because gospel is, again, a translated, injected word in the English version of your King James Version Bible. No, it was not the gospel. It was the word of God. A dispensation of the word of God is committed unto me. First Corinthians 9:17. Dispensation, a administration. That's what it means. Administration of the word of God is committed unto me. It ain't got nothing to do with the cross. I seen a man on YouTube today. I looked at a YouTube tape about dispensation. He was talking about dispensation being the cross. The new covenant up out of the New Testament. Believing in Jesus. Believing in the blood. The dispensation of the cross. The dispensation of grace. The dispensation of salvation. Dispensation don't mean none of that. It means administration. And a religious, that's what you people are, religious economy. That's what it is, a religious economy. All of your churches and ministries that you have set up on the four corners of this earth is a religious economy where you people get all your money from all the little poor, crazy little people that sit up under y'all and write y'all all them checks and all of that bank money. It's economy. It's a system. So look what Paul said. And verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 9. What is my reward? Dear, verily that when I preach the word of God, I ain't going to say no gospel. I may make the word of Christ, the Mashiach in the Hebrew, without charge. Let me just read it how I see it to clarify everything. 1 Corinthians 9:17. What is my reward? And when you look up the word reward, it say Greek number 3408. A primary word, pay for service. That's what Paul talking about. What is my reward? Let me go back up to 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If I administrate dispensation, the word of God, willingly, I will have a reward. A reward in the Greek number is 3408. It say, pay for service. Literally or figuratively, good or bad, high reward wages. Who gonna pay him? Not the people. Paul didn't want nothing from nobody. His reward, his pay for his service, for his dispensation, administration of the word of God was going to come from the God of Israel. Or higher is his name. What is my reward? 1 Corinthians 9:18. Then verily that when I preach the gospel or the word of God, I preach the gospel. I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. Without charge, that I abuse not my power in the word of God or gospel. So what is Paul saying here in 1 Corinthians 9:18? He is simply saying, Celia, he is, excuse me, people, he is simply saying that his reward is going to come from the God of Israel. Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I make the gospel of Christ without charge. So he said, I'm not going to charge nobody anything. And I must do what I'm doing willingly, not to get no money. Not to get no money. So the word charge right here for 1 Corinthians 9:18 is Greek number 77. It says, and a negative particle costs less. That is gratuitous, without expense. Do y'all people hear me? Without expense, costs less. Without charge, that I abuse not my power. So Paul is saying, whatever I give to the people, whatever I tell them about the Son of God, I will not charge them a dime. Cost less. Without charge. Because if I charge the people money or put a price on me, dispensation, administration of the word of God or the administration of the gospel, I will abuse my power that God have gave me. So he said, no, I cannot charge the people nothing. So what are you people doing in these Christian churches and all your ministries set up all over the earth? You are charging the people a fee to prophesy to them. You're charging them a fee to set up in your church buildings. You're charging them a fee to sit up and hear your sermon. And that's why you don't got no power. Let me say it again. That's why you people don't have no power. You can't get rid of COVID-19. You can't get rid of no disease. You can't get rid of no plague. You can't get rid of no headache. You can't get rid of no diabetes. You can't get rid of nothing. You are powerless. Why? Because Paul said, when you put a charge on the word of God, administration, which is dispensation, you abuse the power that God give you. Your power will not be effective to help the people. Peter and them didn't charge the people a dime. So guess what, people? Guess what? Guess what? Everything that you see that's going on up in your religion, that's up out of dispensation, it's all false and fake. You don't charge nobody a dime. You Hebrew Israelites, all of y'all want the people to give you tithes and offerings. What scripture is that? Don't give me that one over there with Melchizedek gave Abraham a tenth over there in Genesis. Don't give me that. Melchizedek, that's just a made-up figure. The God of Israel ain't never told nobody to charge nobody no money for the word of God, to a dispensation, to administer the word of God. And that's why you people help abuse the power. The power. I'm in overtime now. That's why you people have abused the power, because you put a charge on the word of God. Paul said it's costless, without expense. I must preach the gospel without expense. You're not falling, Paul. You're not falling, Paul. If you was falling, Paul, you would give the people the word of God without a dime, cost less, which is dispensation, the administration of the gospel. I don't see nothing about no time period and all that. People try to say dispensation mean a time period and all of that stuff. No, I don't see no time period. I see the word administration for dispensation in the Greek. And that's what it means. People don't know what y'all falling. You don't know what you doing. You don't know. Look what he said in 1 Corinthians 9:19 now. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. So he was a servant of the Jew and the Gentile. He ministered the word of God to the Jew and the Gentile. He was a servant to all men without cost. Without cost, all your religions are paganism. Okay. CDI, you don't have to go in the back right now. It's okay. Because she went out at 8 today. She okay. She don't need nothing. She good. She went over there. She okay. She ate stuff. She good. She had grass and all of that. Okay. So next scripture, people. Next scripture. I'm in overtime. Let's look at a precept now. Let's look at a precept. 1 Corinthians 9:17-19. It would be Luke 12:42. Let's go to Luke 12:42. I'm in the New Testament now. Talking about the word dispensation. I don't see what y'all people are teaching. It is total lies and madness, and you're confusing the people. The people are so confused. They're so confused. That's why they don't know the real God. They don't know. They never heard his voice. They never heard his voice. Why? Because you're teaching another God. And you're teaching another doctrine. And you're teaching another word of God. The God of the word that you're teaching is Satan. The system. Dispensation means system. Rule, order, government. Why they can't hear God? They'll never hear God. Never, ever. And that's how you deceive them. Because you tell them they're going to get this, they're going to get this, they're going to get that. Give me a $1,000 check. Send me a $100 check. Send me a $500 check. God going to do this and God going to do that. And that's how you deceive them. Because they can't hear God for themselves. They can't hear God for themselves. And that's how you people put the gospel scheme on them. Dispensation. Because they cannot hear God for themselves. It's administration, a religion and politics. That's all it's about in this earth. Religion and politics. You notice every year, every 4 years, you got to vote somebody else in the White House, in the Blue House, in the Pink House. Why? That's dispensation. It's administration of a order, of a system, or of a rule. precept, Luke 12:42. Luke 12:42, people. My mom's still looking. I already know I'm going to have to come back probably tomorrow and break down grace in the New Testament and all the rest of it. But that's okay. That's okay. I don't want to rush, and I don't want to cram everything in. I want to take my time. So we're going to make part two. We're going to make part two tomorrow. Coming back. Luke 12:42. 12:42 of Luke. 12:42. And I know it's what all these pastors and preachers and elders and deacons and stuff come on platforms. They just study talking. But they ain't got no scriptures. They might throw one scripture out or two scriptures out. I'm giving you scriptures, people. I'm giving you Bible verses, verse by verse. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. They not doing that because they can't do it. They only understand the New Testament and their dispensation of religion. That's all they understand, what they have been taught. Luke 12:42, let's read it. It says, people, and Ahia said, let's go to 41 verse of Luke 12. Then Peter said unto him, Yeshaya, speak unto this parable, unto us, or even to all. And Yeshaya said, that's his name in the Hebrew, Yeshaya, my Savior. Savior, my rescuer, my salvation. Hebrew, Yeshua or Yeshaya. And 12:42. And Yeshaya said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give to them their portion of meat in due season. See, you Christians take 12:42. I told you the word dispensation means stewardship, administration, when I looked it up in the Greek. So Yeshaya, the Son of God, has said, who is that wise and faithful steward? Steward means dispensation. Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat and due season. Excuse me. And you Christians going to take this scripture and say portion of meat, and you're going to say that means the word of God. That means the word of God. And it's not talking about that at all. It's talking about a steward. A wise steward. A wise servant. Like Paul was. Paul was a wise servant. To all men. Without cost. Without a charge. Without expense. His reward came. Hey! Hey! Hey, TP, sit down. Excuse me, people. CDR, go outside and straight TP out. Get him some more Grado on the back porch. Excuse me, people. He's trying to chase everybody. TP. So a brother was sitting here with me today. He been a Christian about 60 years of his life. To be honest, he's still a Christian, even though he don't go to the church. And I asked him a question about this scripture. Grano. But check on TP first. Check on TP and see what she's doing. And I asked the brother a question about this scripture, Luke 12:42. I say, what do the word meat mean right here in due season? You know what he told me? It meant people. He's been a Christian all his life. He's 70 years old now, 74, 75. He told me the word where it say, their portion of meat in due season. He said that means the word of God. That means the gospel. That means the gospel, he told me. Is that what you Christians think of me? Yes, that's what you think of me. That's what you think it means, but that's not what the Bible say it means. So I'm going to pull up the word meat right here in the Greek. In the Greek. So this steward was wise. And I read to you dispensation means household steward administration. Not none of that stuff you believe, the cross and the blood and all of that stuff, born again and all of that, grace and mercy and the law, none of that. The law done away. You under the new covenant. None of that. I haven't saw none of that. And I never will, because that's not what it means. So in the word in Luke 12:42, for the portion of meat is Greek number 4620. It say a grain measure that is by implication ration allowance of food. Portion of meat. It have everything to do with food. Not the word of God. And that's what you Christians teach. That the word meat right here mean the word of God. That's not what it's saying. It's literally talking about a steward over his household, over his family, a wise steward, to bring food in the household in due season. In due season. Let's look up the word due season. Short while time, occasion, set or proper time, due season. See, the children of Israel, they had their own food. And it was certain times that they had to go reap the harvest in the field. They had to go get their grain and they had to go get all their meat and stuff together. It was seasons and time. The God of Israel worked with time and season. So no, people, I don't see your dispensation being nothing that you are teaching. And if I'm wrong, please come on here and correct. It's the Sister Sister Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Elisha Moe. Dispensation, grace, New Testament, and the Book of Acts, all false doctrine. I'm not saying the Book of Acts is a false doctrine. I'm saying the way that the Christian church teach the Book of Acts is a false teaching. That's what I'm saying. And look what he said, Luke 12:43. Blessed is that servant who his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Doing what? Doing what? Dispensation. Administrating. Being a good steward of his household. Feeding his family. He is a blessed servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Taking care of his family, putting the food on the table, administering the word of God, which is dispensation, what Paul did. So you have two examples right here of dispensation. The one example is the administration of the word of God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. And the other example is being a good steward of your household and putting food on your table for your family. Next precept, Galatians 2:17, for 1 Corinthians 9:17-19. This is the third precept. Galatians 2:7, people. Galatians 2:7, okay? Excuse me. CDR, could you take the fish out for me, please? Excuse me, Pete. Chapter 2, verse 7, my Pete. It says, Galatians 2, 7. I don't see it, people. It's not in the book. It is not part of the Hebrew scrolls. It's not part of the King James Bible. What you teach about dispensation, the cross, and all that stuff. It's not there. Let me get some water, people. Excuse me. It take a prophet to teach you truth. A real prophet of the God of Israel. The prophetic. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. It take a real prophet to give you divine instructions and divine truth. You don't have no real prophet. And that's why you're not getting divine truth and the prophetic and the edification of the Holy Spirit, Mother Earth. Galatians 2:7, it says, let's start at verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it make me no matter, Paul said. To me, God accept no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. I don't know what y'all talking about, what you whispering about, what you in conference about me. It don't make me no difference what you said, because I'm still going to administrate dispensation, the word of God, to the children of Israel, the Gentiles, and the Jews. And I'm going to show you that next, that Paul just wasn't called to the Gentiles. He was called also to the Jews. Verse 7, but counterwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship or the prophetship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Okay? Administration. Dispensation. Administration of the word of God, the gospel, y'all call it. The gospel. Your Trinity. Your death, burial, resurrection of a white man named Cedric Bourchier that you say was resurrected on a Sunday. That's your gospel. Being born again. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues. A ghost. A ghost ain't nothing but a spirit. A demonic spirit. That's what you people are filled with. Demonic spirits. The Holy Ghost. Demonic spirits. And that's why you so very bound today. And in bondage. So again, it's talking about dispensation of the word of God. It was committed to Paul because guess what? When Paul went to the Jews, they didn't receive Paul. They didn't receive Paul. But yet Paul, let me go to that scripture now to prove that. Let me go to that scripture. Let's go to Acts 9:15. Acts 9:15, people. The conversion of Saul. Let's go to the 14th verse. Let me show you who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrew nation, the higher, told Paul who he had the dispensation to, administrate to. Let me show you. Because you think Paul was just to the Gentiles. No. No, no, no. And there he Acts 9:14. And there he have authority from the chief priest, see, to buy all that call on thy name. See, the children of Israel, they knew the name of the God of Israel. They knew the name of the Son of God. When he was born in the earth, he revealed his name to his disciples. That's why you people call him God, 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 Lord, Lord, Lord. So Paul was with the chief priests, the Romans. They gave him authority. They gave him a authority to persecute the 12 tribes. Well, not the 12 tribes because they wasn't there. There was only 2.5 tribes there when the Son of God was born in the earth. The 10 tribes was already gone. Okay, that's why he say, for this word is afar off. It's for the people are far off. That's what the Son of God told his disciples. It's for you, and it's for them that is afar off. Talking about the 10 tribes that used to live in northern Samaria, all over on this side of the world, back in 721 BC. They was not in Jerusalem when Yeshua was born in the earth. They had been scattered. Only 2.5 tribes was there. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. That was the only tribes there. Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of a Hebrew. His daddy was a Hebrew from the tribe of Benjamin. Peter was from the tribe of Judah. Now, Acts 9:15. But Yeshua said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. So Yeshua told Ananias, when Paul got knocked off the horse, he went to Ananias' house and told Ananias to go to Straight Street and look for a disciple. Or look for a man named Saul. Excuse me. Because Yeshua told Ananias. But Yeshua said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Before the Gentiles. And that name was not Jesus. You know why, people? That name wasn't Jesus that Paul had to bear and teach to the Gentiles? Because the New Testament wasn't wrote to 90 years after they killed Paul and the disciples. That wasn't his name. His name is Yeshua, or Yeshua, my Savior. My Savior. So look what it say right here in Acts 9:15. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. He wasn't talking about no Jesus, okay? He was talking about the same name that the children of Israel. The same name that the Son of God revealed to his disciples when he was in the earth. That same name was revealed to Paul. Remember when Paul got knocked off the horse? He said, who are you, my Lord? Who are you? So it don't really record and say that he told him his name. But if you really look at it, it makes sense of Paul meeting the Savior of the world, Yeshua, Of course he revealed his name because he told him, you are my chosen vessel. So he had to give him the name because he sent Ananias to tell him. The name that he got when he fell off the horse, I need him to go and bear my name before the Gentiles. Look at here, people. I told you, Paul wouldn't just call to the Gentiles. And kings, Roman kings, Gentile kings. He had Felix and all of them. Paul had to go bear his name, the Son of God, Yeshua in the earth, to the kings, to the Gentiles, and the children of Israel. Acts 9:15. So you can get off that Gentile stuff with Paul. Talking about Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. No, Paul was the prophet. No apostle in the Hebrew scrolls. Paul was a prophet of the children of Israel, and he was a prophet of the Gentiles also. Look what it says. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So stop calling him God, 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 because your dispensation of religion have taught you that. He have a name. Stop calling him Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's not a Greek. He's not a Greek. He wasn't English either. He was a Jew, and he was a Hebrew. So he telling Paul, go declare my Hebrew name before the Gentiles and before the kings and before the children of Israel. Because I'm going to show you, Paul, how much you're going to suffer to carry my name. No, it was not Jesus. Jesus came about 80, 90 years after they killed all the disciples and Paul. Another one of your false doctrines and your false teachings that you have been teaching from your religion, dispensation, your scheme, your plan, your order, your system of religion, your government. A religious economy. That's what we have in this earth, the system. It is a religious economy. Everybody religious. Because don't nobody know who the God of Israel is. Don't nobody know who the children of Israel is. It's a religious system, a religious economy. And that's how your leaders are getting wealthy and rich off of you. And your government have set up all your churches all over the earth and make you get 501c3. State and church. Anything you set up in this earth, the government got to, you got to get a permit and you got to get a articles of a corporation. You got to get EIN numbers from the IRS. Everything is set up through a system, a political system, which is dispensation and religion. You can't have a legal church or a legal business or a legal nothing in this earth without the government being in charge over it. A religious order, a system, dispensation. Now, people, I'm running out of time. You're not born again. You're not born again. the children of Israel. Don't you know the Holy Spirit, Mother Earth, was way back there in the wilderness with the children of Israel? Don't you know the Mother Earth, the Holy Spirit, filled the prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Moses and all of them? Don't you understand that the Holy Spirit have always been with the children of Israel, wherever they was, wherever they went throughout the wilderness? You think the Holy Spirit just popped up somewhere in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts? You think she just popped up and she ain't never been around, and she ain't never been with God the Father? She ain't never been with the children of Israel. You Gentiles say she just popped up somewhere. Peter and them always knew about the Holy Spirit. They was just in the upper room celebrate a holy day on the day of Pentecost, and they was filled with not the Holy Ghost now. Not the Holy Ghost. They already knew about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit been around from the Old Testament to the New. Been around. I can show you so many scriptures in the Bible what show you the Holy Spirit built Elijah and the prophets. I can show you scripture after scripture where she was in the Tanakh, when she was in the Torah, filling the people with the Holy Spirit, giving them power to prophesy, giving them power to speak prophetically. What do you think was leading Moses? Speaking to Moses, God was speaking to him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit was empowering him. You think she just popped up? La 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 kata yata zita, all that stuff back. No, Peter Neal was filled with power. Filled with power. Not no Holy Ghost. He was filled with power from on high. So that meant the God the Father and the Holy Spirit filled them with power. You just want to say, and it set upon each of them, and they began to speak in tongues. No, they was filled with power from the Holy Spirit and the Father, so they could a language or languages to the people that was in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. It was filled with power. Not no hekatatatasita stuff, man. They was filled with power, and they had wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and they received the gift of speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is a language. A language. And when the people was in Jerusalem began to speak, Peter and them understood exactly what they were saying. And they dispensation administered the word of God to the people and asked the people, can anybody be baptized? So they baptized people. And they taught people the word of God. It ain't got nothing to do with what you think and what you believe and what you've been taught. They was filled with power from on high. And they was filled with gifts of the Holy Spirit or from the Holy Spirit. Interpretation of tongues, prophecy, gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge, faith, gift of faith, gifts of miracles. They was filled with all of the gifts. And that's why they had so much power. You people don't have that. You have none of that. None of that at all. All you have is a false teaching about the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. You sanctified it. You born again because you speak in tongues. A satanic tongue that's not a language. Can't nobody understand nothing you talking about. You can't even understand it your own self. When Peter and them spoke, when the people spoke, they understood each other exactly they were saying. So no, 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 the book of Acts is not, the New Testament did not start with the book of Acts. False teaching. And what Peter and them had, you never did receive it, and you never will receive it. You never will receive it. Why? Because you're not serving the God of Peter, John, and James. You serving a different God. You serving the religion that Peter and them rejected, and they lost their life not to do it. They lost it. They told Caesar, you know what, Caesar, Pilate, all y'all, y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. We're going to obey God. We ain't going to never stop dispensation of ministering the gospel, the word of God. You can kill me. You can take my life. You can do whatever you want to do. All about my Father. So they had something totally different that you people would never have. So you Christians, you pastors, you bishops, you elders, all of y'all need to sit down. All of y'all. Because you'll never have what Peter, John, and James, and Paul and them had. Never. So stop bragging about Paul is your Gentile apostle and all of that. Stop bragging about that. You don't know nothing about Paul. You don't know nothing about what Paul was talking about or doing. You only know what your gospel scheme have taught you and your religious scheme. So let me keep going. Yeah. Yes, people. And I'm getting ready to leave. So that's all the scriptures I have. Ephesians 3 verse 2, last one for dispensation. Ephesians 3 verse 2. Ephesians 3, verse 2. Talking about the Holy Ghost just popped up. And yes, in the New Testament. And yay. Oh, yeah. He told the Son of God did tell the disciples that he was going to send the promise of the Father. Yes, he did send her. And she did fill them with power and with the gifts of the Spirit. It's not about no hikatasita stuff y'all people believe. Not at all. Not at all. They had real power. Real power that you people have never seen in the day of your life. And you never will see it. Okay, how much you worship, pray, run around the church and get your $1,000 offering. And all that, I don't care how much you do that. You can keep paying Satan all you want. You can keep paying the government all you want. Because they the ones set up all your religions. And just put a black man there, a white man, and a pink man, and a Chinese man. They behind the order. They behind the dispensation. They behind the system. Ephesians 3:2. Let's read verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 3. For this call I, Paul, the prisoner of... Did you take the fish out, bruh? Excuse me, Pete. For this call I, Paul, the prisoner of Yeshua Mashiach. Not known Jesus Christ. He was not Christ. That's another. That's another one of your cliches that they injected. Jesus Christ. No. Yeshaya Mashiach in the Hebrew. The Hebrew Savior. For you Gentiles, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of the Yeshaya Mashiach, for you Gentiles. For you Gentiles now. Remember, he was called to the kings, and he was also called to the children of Israel. I just read you that in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. If you have heard, but what had happened when he got to the children of Israel, the Jews, they did not receive Paul, even though the Son of God told him to go to the children of Israel. They did not receive him because they was afraid of him, because he had went around Jerusalem killing everybody, killing women and children of the Jews. They didn't trust him. They didn't believe him. They didn't, you know, so they rejected him. And it's the scriptures in the Bible that say, yeah, because y'all rejected me, I'm going to go to the Gentiles now. Do you want me to get you that scripture? Let me get you that scripture after I read this. That's why you got Paul just talking to the Gentiles a lot in the New Testament, because the children of Israel, the Jews, they rejected Paul. They rejected Paul. Let me get that scripture. But this call, I, Paul, the prisoner of Yeshaya Mashiach for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation, there go that word again, dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you. Dispensation, people, Greek number 3622, administration of a household, stewardship. Give me my food, give me my meat in due season. Give me the word of God, and give me the word of God. Be instant in season and out of season. Give me administration. That's what dispensation means. Stewardship, religious economy. That's what y'all call it, a religious economy. Dispensation of the grace, see, there you go. If you have heard of the dispensation of administration of the grace of God, which is given me toward you. Grace. Y'all said grace means that you are saved. Grace means that you are born again. Grace means that you are not under the law, but you are under grace. What scripture is that where it said grace be that you're not under the law, but you are? Where is that scripture? I need to see the scripture. Again, you can't find one. There's no such thing. Ephesians 3 verse 2, Greek number 5485, for the word grace is graciousness, a gratified of manner or act. Manner or act, figuratively or spiritually, especially the divine influence upon the heart. The divine influence upon the heart. That's what grace is all about. Gratifying, manner or act, divine influence upon the heart. It don't got nothing to do with you under the law. You're not under the law. You're under grace. I don't see that nowhere reading the definition in the Greek. Divine influence of the heart and its reflection, the life. And the life, including gratitude. Grace is gratitude now. Gratitude. He sent his son with gratitude. He sent his son with a divine mandate to influence the children of Israel's heart. And it reflected in the life, including gratitude, acceptable benefits, favor. Yes, he favored Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob favored Israel, the 12 tribes. When the Son of God got there, was 2.5 tribes there. He favored Israel over all people on the face of the earth. They are the apple of his eye. They are his beloved in the earth. They are his inheritance in the earth. Not you Gentiles. Not you Gentiles. They are his inheritance. They are his beloved. They are his wife. We are his wife. Because I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Judah. We are his wife. We are his sons and daughters in the earth. We are his chosen people in the earth. You can't kill Israel. Never, because you can't kill his God. You can't kill their God. So long as you can't kill their God, you can't kill Israel. So get off of that madness y'all talking about, you spiritual Israel. Grace only means favor. The Son of God came with favor because his father sent him to the children of Israel because he favored them over everybody in the earth. They are his people, and they always will be. And that's why the new Jerusalem is going to come down and set on Mount Zion, the 12 pearly gates where the 12 tribes will be living, serving their God in the temple day and night. And he's going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and you Gentiles going to be outside somewhere in the outer court. So no, grace don't have nothing to do with the law is done away with and you are under grace. It don't say that at all. That's why I told you people, y'all brain dead because you don't study the Bible. You only believe what somebody tells you and what you've been taught. So it's a benefit, favor, gift. What was the gift? Salvation. Salvation was a gift. I'm reading Greek number 5485, Ephesians 3 verse 2, for the word grace. Gift. The gift was eternal life. That's what it is. Salvation is eternal life. If you die and leave this world and go be with the God of Israel, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, that is salvation. That is eternal life with the Father. A gift. He gave the children of Israel a gift. Yeah, you Gentiles, you can have eternal life. You can have eternal life. But don't go around saying you are the children of Israel. You spiritual Israel and all of that. Don't go around saying that because that is a lie. A bald-faced lie. It's a gift. So the Son of God came with a gift, eternal life for the children of Israel and whoever else, Gentiles, wanted to believe in his Father and wanted to believe in the Mother, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Act. Whoever else wants to believe, it's okay. But you'll never be Israel. You'll never take Israel's place. Never. Never, ever, 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 ever. They are his beloved. Go over there to 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is, or chapter 3 or 4, where he say, my beloved, my beloved. He talking about Israel all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. He talking about his chosen seed in the earth, his inheritance. The children of Abraham, the children of Jacob, the 12 tribes. So So that gift, he came with that gift. And it said grace. Grace is nothing but gratitude. Influencing your heart to become a child of God. But the only way you'll ever become a child of God, if you keep the law. The very thing that you think is gone away and it don't exist, is dead. That's the very thing that the Son of God came to present in the earth to the children of Israel with gratitude, which is grace. Favor, gift, grace. They did not receive. They said, crucify, crucify. We don't want nothing to do with him. Joy, liberty. Joy. When you got grace, you got joy. Who got joy in the Christian church? Absolutely nobody. Absolutely nobody. Remember, I was a pastor for 15 years. I know, Pete. Grace is joy. Liberty. Liberty. You're free. You're not in false reality. Believing a lie rather than the truth. You are at liberty. That liberty is the God of Israel. That liberty is the Father. Not Jesus the Son. He ain't never told you to pray to him and worship him and call on his name and cry to him. He never told you that, Gentile. And he never told the children of Israel to do that. He said, worship my Father. Glorify my Father. Cry out to my Father. Present yourself to my Father. He's greater than me. It's a liberty. It's a pleasure. Thanks worthy. So where is your, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Where is that for the definition of grace? I don't see no law here, nowhere. Again, people, false doctrine. So tomorrow I'm going to come back and talk some more about grace and the New Testament and the book of Acts tomorrow. So I'm showing you your grace and mercy and all that stuff you think you got, you don't have it. You don't have it because you don't believe in the real God. You don't believe in the real God. You don't know his name. You don't know his title. You don't know who he is. You don't know nothing. So the grace of God, which is given to me towards you. Now, let me look up the scripture before I go. The scripture I want to look up is the one when Paul said, a moment. I know what I'm talking about, people. I know what I'm talking about because I'm in the prophetic. I have been revealed the stuff that I'm teaching you through the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, from the God of Israel. I know what I'm talking about and I know what I'm teaching you. And that's why I would love somebody to come on here to rebuke me. If I'm telling a lie, come on here and rebuke me. Pastor, you can't rebuke me, number one, because I'm the prophet of the God of Israel. Number two, you can't rebuke me because you don't have enough knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the Bible or the Hebrew scrolls to rebuke me. Yeah. Hebrew Israelite elders, any of y'all, come on. Come on. Because I'm just going to ask you to show me scriptures for everything you teach. What scripture is that? Where? Show me. Show me that. Scripture, people. I'm getting ready to go to. Thank you, God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I give you the glory. Thank you, Son of God, for everything you have done for me in this earth. Okay. Let me look at this one. So what's the key? Yes, I'm going to come with that scripture, y'all. I'm going to come with that scripture. Let me write that down. I'm going to come because I'm running out of time. I'm going to come with the scripture where the children of Israel rejected Paul and his teaching. Rejected Paul and his teaching. Tomorrow I'll be back. God of Israel says, okay. So with that, people, I think what I am going to do now, I have all the scriptures now for grace. For grace. Let me give you Colossians. I think I have one more for dispensation. Colossians 1:25, and I have a precept to that. And after that, I'm going to say I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. And tomorrow we're going to pick it up at the word grace. At the word grace. But I already read to you what grace is. And you ain't going to find nothing no different than that. But I'll go over it with you just to prove my fact. More and more and more. My point. Colossians 1:25, people. Colossians 1:25. Last one on dispensation. And I had something here I wanted to read to you. Hold on. Let me see. Can I tie this in real quick? Colossians 1:25, okay? 1:25. Paul ministry to the church. What church is that? The children of Israel. Let's see. Y'all Gentiles think y'all the church. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ or the Mashiach and my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. The church. The church. Let me look it up, people. Because you think you the church. Oh, I'm the body of Christ. I hear so many preachers and members of the Christian church come on blog topic in different platforms and say, oh, I'm the body of Christ. We the church, the Gentiles. I'm reading Colossians 1:24, Greek number 1577, a church. A compound of, and a derivative of a calling out. A calling out. The Son of God came to call out the children of Israel. That's who he was sent for. That's who he was sent for, the children of Israel. That is concretely a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation. It says Jewish synagogues or Christian community or members of the earth or saints in heaven or both, assembly church. We're going to bring out that more tomorrow about the body of Christ. Let me put a notation for that too. We're going to bring that out more. There's a lot of false teaching behind that statement. A lot of false teaching. So with that, I'm going to go to right here, 1:25 about dispensation, last one. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mysteries which have been hidden for ages and from generations, but now are manifested. Dispensation, Greek number 3622, or Colossians 1:25, administration, household, estate, stewardship, religious economy. Okay, dispensations, right thing, people. Let's go to the precepts, 2 Timothy 4:25. 2 Timothy 4:25, people. 2 Timothy 4:25 verse. I got a couple articles I need to read, and I'm going to be finished with dispensation, this part of the topic, dispensation, which is a very, very, very broad topic and word up in the Christian church with all the false teachers and doctrines behind the word dispensation. 2 Timothy 4, 2-5. 2-5, people. 2 Timothy 4, 2-5. Let's start at verse. Yeah, it says, verse 2, preaching the word, be instant in season and out of season. See that? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. See, that's what Paul was doing. He wrote this letter to Timothy, told Timothy about preaching the word. Man, instant in season, rebuke, reprove, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Doctrine right here. Doctrine is for 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Greek number 1322, instruction of the matter. Doctrine that has been taught. Who taught them the doctrine? The Son of God. When he came to the earth, he taught his disciples the doctrine of God, his Father. See, they had another doctrine in the earth for the Judaism, for Christianity, for all the religions that they had set up in the earth. They had their own doctrine. So the Son of God came and taught Peter, James, and his 12 disciples the doctrine of God, the doctrine of God. And that's why they refused all the doctrines that was in Jerusalem at the time when the Son of God walked. And they killed them and they beheaded them and they did all of that because they refused the doctrines of the religions that was set up in the earth, just like they set up right now. So he came with a different doctrine. The doctrine of his Father, the God of Israel. And that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to kill him. Because he wasn't talking what they was talking. He wasn't teaching what they was teaching. He wasn't saying what they was saying. He wasn't talking about what they wanted him to talk about. Judaism and all Christianity and all that stuff. He wasn't talking about none of that. None of that. And that's why they wanted to kill him and his disciples, and they did. So verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So this is what Paul is telling Timothy, you know what, be careful. Because I done ran into a lot of people traveling all over in Asia and everywhere. I done ran into Ephesians, Galatians, and all of that, Colossians and all that, that's over in Asia, which is India today. He said, be careful, Timothy, because you're going to run into a lot of people that cannot endure sound doctrine means something that can actually really change you as a person. Sound doctrine is something that actually can give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the prophetic and edification. Sound, it's good, it's wholesome, it's right, it's true. That's what the Son of God came with to the children of Israel. That's what he told Peter to. Sound doctrine. And Paul stayed away from everybody for years. And the Holy Spirit taught him. The Holy Spirit taught him. And the Father taught him sound doctrine. So he told Peter, watch out. Look what sound means. But 2 Timothy 4:3 is Greek number 5198. For the time will come, and that time was way back then, and that time is right now, that they will not endure sound doctrine. I go on Blog Talk Radio, and I try to tell these preachers and pastors and ministers and elders, I try to tell them as the prophet of the God of Israel that they are in error. They are in error, teaching the people wrong. I went on a show the other day, and I was telling a sister that she was talking about the youth, what we need to do to get a hold to our young people and what we need to do to get a hold to our youth and change things. And, you know, I went on there and I told her, and I went to scriptures in the Bible, like 2-3 scriptures, and I showed her that the God of Israel say, you must teach your kids from one generation to the next, their sons, 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 you must teach them the law. You must teach them the law for this generation and the generation to come. That's in the book of Psalms. You must teach the law. They don't want to hear that, though. They don't want to believe that. They don't want to accept that because they've been so programmed and so deeply, deeply, deeply rooted. And that's why I got a brother right now that I pulled out the Christian church like 8 years ago. And he still won't let go of that doctrine of the Christian church. He won't let it go. He will not let it go. He will not receive the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as his God. He will not do it. Because it's so deeply rooted inside of his soul, inside of his mind, inside of his spirit, that I think he's going to take it to his grave with him. I think he's going to take it to his grave with him. He will not convert to the sound doctrine of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. Just like them pastors and people I talk to on Blog Talk will not accept truth, stuff that makes sense. Because all the stuff y'all talking and teaching don't make sense. Because it don't have no precepts and Bible verses and the prophetic to back up what you are saying. So Paul is telling Timothy, they ain't going to endure sound doctrine. Sound is Greek number 5198, to have sound health, that is, be well in body, figuratively to be uncorrupt, true in doctrine, be in health, be in health. See, sound doctrine, let me read it again, for 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. It's Greek number for sound, it's Greek number 5198, to have sound health. Everybody sick. Everybody is sick, women, children, and men. Why? Because they don't have sound doctrine. the doctrine that they are following, the Christian church, the doctrine that they believe cannot give them health. And the preachers don't got no power. But I read to you earlier that Paul said he would not ever charge nobody a fee. Everything that he administered dispensation to the people is costless. He ain't going to never put no expense on. So they'll never have no power to heal you. Never. So you can give them $1 million, $5,000, whatever you want to give them. It would not ever help you. Ever. So sound is, it said Greek number, sound health, that is be well. Sound doctrine, to be well in body. Biblically, to be uncorrupt. See, the doctrine that you follow, the dispensation, the system, the order, the government, it have corrupted you people. You are very corrupted. Sound doctrine will uncorrupt you. You corrupt. You can't love nobody. You can't help nobody. It's all about you. You got a lot of pride. You real stiff-hearted, real stiff-necked and stubborn. Stubborn. Why? Because you listen to false doctrine and false teaching, and it corrupts you. So Paul is telling Timothy to watch out, Timothy. We got to have sound doctrine, and they're not going to listen, Timothy. They're not going to endure it. So sound doctrine is uncorrupt, true in doctrine. Read the Greek number. Be in health, be safe, and sound, be whole. Da, 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 da. I get Santa, you whole. He got whole right now. In the name of Jesus, you whole. I cast out cancer. I cast out high blood pressure. Be whole in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. Not sound doctrine. It's a scheme. It's all a scheme. A system. Sound doctrine give you health, make you happy, well,